Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. My, but it's good to have you with us tonight. We're going to get right into the message. This will be the final part of the Masqueraders. Actually, we've done five in the series. This will be the fifth in the series. We only have four that will be able to send out to you out of the message. We didn't record last week's Part 4 series of the Masqueraders. And so then if you'd like to have the four-part series that we've done, well, you can order that from the Shepherd's Call Ministry. Now, let me set up a text highlight for you. Let's establish a foundation of thought as we finalize the Masqueraders. Now, it would be very appropriate, I think, to go back to the great whore that deceive the whole world. This is written in the book of Revelation, and it is also written throughout the biblical texts. In the Old Testament, we talked about Babylon. Babylon's been around actually a long time. You see, according to the Bible, there will be four kingdoms that will rise out of the earth, and Babylon will dominate all four kingdoms until approximately 2,000 years ago, there was a stone hewed out without hands. Now, this is the messianic stone that came into or opposed, if you will, or clashed with Babylon. Now, this great stone was the master stone. And Daniel saw this stone hewed out of the mountain without hands, and the Bible said it came down the mountain, and it gained momentum. Each successive Babylonian empire will see or feel or know the truth of the wrath of Yahweh. Now, this Babylonian kingdom, which has grown so powerful, we are now afraid of our own government in certain aspects, and we shouldn't be, by rights. When people fear the government more than they fear Yahweh, but then Yahweh has been replaced upon the throne, and Babylon is in full power. And truthfully, that's what's happened. Now, let's go to Revelation 18, verse 23, and tonight we'll title the final message on the Masqueraders, if you will, Masqueraders Part 4. It's actually five in the series. And we're going to title this Unmasking the Great Whore of Babylon. We're going to Revelation 18:23 and use a word here for our framework, if you will. And the light of the candle shall shine no more in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries, now remember, Babylon, were all nations deceived. Revelations 19 and 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. My, my, what judgment. What final resolute judgment. You see, the great whore, the Babylonian whore. Now, let's go to Babylon and see if we can see into the mystery of the great city of Babylon, or the people that are spoken about in the Bible as those that control, operate, and use Babylon as a power source to rule over the kings of the earth, to work miracles with the false prophet. Now, what about false religion? Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, you certainly ain't talking about mine. Glory to God. I go down here to this church and that church and this church and that church, and this is true. The Bible said every man's way seems right in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the spirit. In other words, most of the time, and this is perhaps probably without exception, which the Bible says we've all sinned and come short, and so then most of the time when we're weighed in the balances, we are true to form, we are found wanting. That means that there's more deceit, more falsehood, more misunderstanding, more misappropriation of truth than there is truth to balance out of our life. The Bible said in the day that we're speaking about, when the merchants of the great men of earth and used sorceries, that these sorceries were religious instruments in the hands of the crafty. And you know what the Bible said, that Satan has transformed himself into a minister. Well, how can you imagine that Satan, that great evil power, that beast power, could appear in this earth in a religious format as constructive or good and casting truth to the ground in doing so? Now, how could he deceive people to cast down the truth and cause people to worship the beast and receive the mark? Now, what is the mark? Some people ask me. And it's so simple. The mark is a number of a name. Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Now, I just made it quite simple. And people are looking for a very complicated person that's going to come up. Now, the Bible says the Antichrist will raise up in the last days. Well, folks, 2,000 years ago, John the prophet wrote about the Antichrist, and he said there are now many Antichrists with us. Now, who are the Antichrists? Well, let's see. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Well, let's start with Babylon. Now, there was a people taken to Babylon, let's say about approximately 3,500 years ago, thereabout. And these people were out of the tribe of the only remaining one, actually. You see, the 10 tribes in 721 B.C., had already exited the land that is called Israel. So Israel had already been evicted, the 10 tribes, and I have explained to you in the masquerader party that we're here in tonight, we're going to really look at the whore. We're going to go to the most beautiful woman in the masquerade party. We're going to rip off the mask, and we're going to take a look at the face of this beautiful woman that appears beautiful. In other words, she's got heritage. She's got tradition behind her. She's got a way that seems right. Now, who gave man permission to say that those who oppose Christ are the ones that are blind, and yet they are God's chosen people? Now, who gave man that reasoning, that faculty called brain or spiritual knowledge? Where did that knowledge come from? Who masqueraded or who presented this great masquerade and caused us to be deceived by thinking that a people up on earth could be antichrist, in other words, reject Christ, call him a bastard, call him a sorcerer, call him a deceiver, actually literally kill him? And we talked about Mel Gibson's Passion, the 12 hours of Christ's death, and the great controversy that ensued, and still is a raging, burning controversy, because a certain people upon the earth say, oh, that'll cause people to be anti-Semitic. Ladies and gentlemen, are we anti-Semitic or are we Semitic ourselves? Who are the Semitic people? Who are those who are those who know not who they are because of a blindness in part has happened to Israel? Now, who are the people that have deceived those that are blind? Who's led them astray? Who has established a religion upon the earth called the Great Whore? Revelation 17 we could go to. My, I could probably preach a 10-hour message without stopping, without pausing, and never miss a beat in 10 hours, and the half wouldn't be told about this great mystery that I'm trying to unfold to you in probably 55 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an awesome task to bring truth to oppose tradition. Now, the Bible says full well they reject the tradition or the commandments to keep tradition. Well, as opposed to tradition versus truth, they cast the truth to the ground. They say, oh, I know it says that, but they become goats, if you will, masters of deception, ministers of righteousness, and inwardly they're raven wolves. They stand before you as God's people. They say that they're God's people, but in truth, according to Revelations 2 and 9, I know this is Christ. This is the one that was murdered. This is the one that brutally attacked. I'm telling you, folks, if you could been an eyewitness, and I just hope that the Father will express through me and give you some insight into the horrible, terrible punishment inflicted upon a man from Galilee. It was a Galilean Israelite, and I'd like to go back to the establishment of the fact that Christ and his bloodline was in direct opposition to a people who claimed to be Jews and were not, but were out of the synagogue or out of the serpent race, out of the reptilian beast system, who has changed themselves into ministers of righteousness and now are masquerading. And oh my, how miserable I have failed in these 5 hours to tell you or to explain to you or to make this speech so plain and so enlightening that a fool, though a wayfaring man, would not err in knowing who our enemy is. Now, they are Antichrist approved. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about here. When I say Antichrist approved, this is the only people, with no exception. There is no exception to this rule here in traditional form today, and it is strictly traditional. There's no biblical truth to this. But they are actually Antichrist accepted people that are given a right to be Antichrist, to talk violently, to kill, to intimidate, to oppose Christ in any way, and still be, recipients of all of the praise and the honor and the glory as given to those who claim to be God's chosen people. This is the masquerade of the great hoax and deception. It's the greatest hoax and deception that has ever been upon the face of our planet from the get-go. How can Satan, the snake that he is, how could he wiggle himself into the house of Israel? How could he actually take over the priesthood? And we're talking about the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, Christ warned us about the scribes. He said, beware of the scribes. Beware of the Pharisees. Now, why would he say that about a people who we say today, the rabbis, that they're God's chosen people? Why do we believe that? What gave us this instinctive, this intuition? Where'd it come from? Well, you say, Pastor Buddy, my pastor told me that the Jews were God's chosen people, and that, yes, they're Antichrist, yes, but, you see, God blinded them. And hoax number one, this is the greatest deceptional belief system ever introduced to man, and man fell victim to the sorceries and the miracles and received the mark of the beast. Now, if you know something, the Bible said you shall know the truth. Well, what is the truth? Truth is something that is today stranger than fiction. Although those that believe truth, now let me give you this appraisal of truth as opposed to darkness or those who are not walking in the light. The Bible says straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and the few there be that find it. Many are on the road to deception, broad is the way, and many there go down. So, if you look at the comparison of the few that know the truth as opposed to those who do not know the truth, then those who know the truth pale in comparison to those that know not. Now, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. From such turn away. Turn away from what? Turn away from the deceptive powers of tradition. Turn away from that seems right. Take a fresh look at the church you're sitting in. Examine the preacher. Look at him. What is he telling you in reality? Is he just feeding you popcorn? Tick on your ears, giving you one of those very eloquent master speeches. You see, Satan himself, being transfigured into an angel of light of righteousness, and the Bible said, no marvel also, for his ministers have done likewise. So Satan has trained, qualified, seminaried, and, if you will, allow me to interject this, and no pun intended, cemeteried the preachers, deader than last year's bird's nest and much drier. If you go eat the popcorn, you better take you plenty to drink down this false doctrine that they promote and they give you in the form of worldly acceptance tradition that the Jews are God's chosen people. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ did not come from the tribe of Judah, number one, so he wasn't a Jew. Now, I have $1,000 reward for anybody that can prove that Christ is a Jew, or was a Jew, or ever was a Jew for that matter. Christ was not a Jew. He was not even from the bloodline of Judah, from the true tribe. Now, there are true blue descendants from the tribe of Joseph, or the tribe of Judah, as opposed to Joseph. Now, Joseph was the birthright tribe, and the prophecy of Genesis 49:24 clearly states that Christ, the Messiah, the headstone, if you will, that stone that Daniel saw hewed out of the mountain that tore down Babylon. Now, Babylon is not what a lot of people think. Babylon is a city of confusion, of sorcery. Sorcery is a magic. Transforming themselves, the prophets of this unique system of Babylon. Now, who was taken up to Babylon? The tribe of Judah. They were taken up in captivity, and they kept up there for 70 years. And out of that, now, there's a great mystery in 1 Kings 11 and 12, where that after the land was, in other words, Israel and Judah, both the house of Judah and the house of Israel was removed now, far removed, removed from the land. Who came in to possess the land? Who ruled there when the house of Judah and the house of Israel were taken away? Who was put in their place? That's a great mystery. Now, these were Canaanites, and they needed instruction because God plagued the Canaanites that came in and possessed the land after the removal of the house of Judah and the house of Israel. God plagued them unmercifully with plagues. The beast of the field, the lions, came in and slayed the people, and they cried out to the king of Babylon for a deliver system to come down and to appease the God of Israel and to take out the curse after he removed his people, and that they might live in the land peacefully. And guess who came down to teach these Canaanites? Oh, my heavens, what a great, great mystery that we have before us today. Many people, ignorant and unlearned, never bothered to study, never bothered to pray, let alone fast. A three-day fast would kill them. Something that they wouldn't even think about sacrificing 3 days of food, joy, and peace for 3 days of turmoil without food. What about 40-day fast? Anybody willing to hunger and thirst for righteousness? Well, these are the aspects of those who have qualified themselves to step up to the plate and bring you the raw, naked truth, just as it is written. Now, if you are looking for sugarcoating, you're on the wrong channel. You're listening to WWCR 5070 tonight with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call Worldwide, brought to you by Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack and those who are responsible for this ministry. We are truth seekers and truth presenters, so help us, Yahweh. We only want truth. We know it's a hard saying, and who can hear it? We know that we're going to get little support, but we do know that the sheep, the fish, are out there. We've sent fishermen. We are a fisherman, and we're fishing today for those who believe and those who know the truth and those who are trying to find the truth. This is a revelation of induction into the truth field. Now, remember this. The little woman that found the pearl of great price, bought the field, purchased the pearl, and by buying the field, purchase the pearl and become a possessor of something more valuable than the field. Well, we're giving you something more valuable than the field. We're giving you raw, naked truth. It is the truth. Now, the Bible says in John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must. It's a prerequisite. It is a requirement. It is unqualified. Let me tell you something. That truth is unqualified today in the bell box systems of the world. They will not qualify the truth. They will not walk up and tell you the truth. They will teach you lies, feed you lies, and tell you these lies in very perfected, eloquent form. You see, Paul said, I'm crude in speech. Have you become my enemy since I've told you the truth, he said? Well, the same thing applies today. You know, they beat Paul in the head with stones. Who was these people that actually beat Paul? These are the same one that were in the beast, the belly of the beast. These that were opposers, these antichrists that claimed to be the people of God, Paul was transformed and removed far from them because he himself was an opposer of the truth of Christ. Chosen out of the Sanhedrin court of the Pharisaical division, Paul said a Pharisee, of the strictest sort. Changed and given the revelation of truth, and the very truth he preached stood now in opposition against these Pharisees and the scribes who were opposed to truth and still are, by the way, and yet get away with it and are paid handsomely. Did you know that Antichrist come to Christian churches? Let me tell you something. Did you know that Antichrist believers, those who do not profess Christ in any way, come to Christian churches who profess Christ and deny Christ, or Antichrist, and they take up large sums of money to carry back to the sandbox, and there they're saying, oh, we're going to erect a temple, and then the Messiah, the true Messiah, is coming. Not Jesus Christ, as they prescribe, but then the Jews' Messiah is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get real here. He came 2,000 years ago. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own received him not. It is strange that you say, well, see, God had to blind them, the Jews. Oh, $1,000 for anybody can read that remark, but it's one of the most common quoted bell box, if you will, and no pun intended. A bell box is something that they paint you into, a little box, keep you there with fear, ignorance, and superstition, no scripture. Oh, they'll take a lovely text out of the Bible, and they will quote a few scriptures to you, and then they'll spin a little fairy tale, a little folding of the hands, a little nodding in the aisles, and in the seats where, you know, most of them are lulled to sleep in a hypnotic trance-like state because they think that they've heard some great man speak because he's very successful and he's on 29 television stations across the United States, or 30 or 100, and therefore he must be the great power of God because he has access to all these avenues of reaching many people, and therefore people want to stand by success. Christ was not a success when he came. Quite the contrary. He had no place to lay his head. And the Bible said foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. They finally killed him, and nobody, and I mean nobody, you see, it seemed like he was a failure. Who wants to be around a failure? People love success. They love successful ventures. Whether it's right or wrong, they don't care. As long as it draws a crowd, has a crowd, and many are in it, they suppose, rightfully so, by being deceived by the beast power and the sorceries in mind here, that it must be the great power of God. Oh, popularity. We want to join the biggest church in town. We want the name. Where do you go to church at? Well, we don't have a church. We meet down here in a house. Did you know the apostolic fathers didn't have a temple to worship in, that they went from city to city, and they hung out with those who dared to invite them into their house to worship because they preached things contrary to the beast system that was then, and I'm preaching things that's contrary now to the beast system. I receive threats. People don't like me. I receive hate mail. Of course I do. Nobody likes the truth. And Pastor Buddy, with the grit and the backbone and the courage to stand against the lies of the serpent, make a bold statement that Christ was not a Jew, and nobody wants to take me up on it. Or say, well, now, we know what you believe, Pastor Buddy, and we know that you got a $1,000 reward out there, and I just asked my preacher about it, and he said, oh, that preacher's crazy. He don't know what he's talking about. Why, of course, you know that Christ was a Jew. And then they laugh it off, or deny it, or talk it off, or divert it off, and turn the people from the truth, divert the people from the truth. You see, if you know the truth, let's reason with this. Was Christ out of the tribe of Judah? Well, of course not. How could he be the stone shepherd that was to come from the tribe of Joseph, which was the birthright tribe? You see, if Christ didn't come from a birthright tribe to inherit the birthright possession that God promised the elder son through birthright, well, you know, by default, the elder son defaulted to Joseph. Joseph, being the 11th son of Jacob's strength, inherited the birthright by default, because it was never meant that Reuben or any of the succeeding sons, the next 10, was approved by Yahweh, even as David. You see, you go back to David, Jesse had 8 sons. Well, only 7 appeared at the coronation, where Samuel was going to anoint one of them to be king. Well, he went through 7, and he said, the Spirit said, this is not them. This is not him. He's not here. And so Samuel, being a prophet, knew that the father had told him that one of the sons of Jesse was going to be king. And lo and behold, there in the sheep field, there tending sheep, there guarding the sheep. You see, ladies and gentlemen, all these sons were, in the eyes of Samuel, potential king candidates. But see, Yahweh doesn't see as man sees. And so Yahweh told him, he said, this is not them. All 7 failed the test that Yahweh was to give to appoint a king. You see, it takes more to be a man than just to be good-looking or well-trained or orator or something that's crafty with words or somebody that Satan has chosen and has nothing in common with the truth of Yahweh. Now, David was taken from the sheepfold, and he's brought down, and there Yahweh said when he walked in, you see, he was a man of a very ruddy complexion, very fair. He was an Israelite. He could blush in the face, praise Yahweh. And there, he was a pronounced king. Now, let's examine this patriarch, David, the king of Israel, the only one that was found a man after Yahweh's own heart. This attributed to David only, no other prophet. But let's go back and look at his bloodline. Go back to the book of Ruth. You see, Ruth was the grandmother of David. Boaz was the great-grandfather of David. Now, we go to the progenitor downline in the genealogy, and we find that Ruth and Boaz was the progenitor of those who finally became the progenitor of David, which was Jesse, David's father. And in Strong's number 669, we find in 1 Samuel 17:12 that David, or in Jesse, the one that was chosen to produce David, was Ephraimite. Now, isn't it amazing that everybody thinks that David was a Jew? That Christ would have to be a Jew, because the genealogy in Matthew and Luke determined that David was an ancestor, and that Christ descended from the blood of David, and he swore unto David, I'll swear unto David, that out of the flesh of his body shall I sit upon the throne as the Messiah in the house of Israel forever. I'll swear. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if that prophecy was not fulfilled, if it wasn't a fact that David became a progenitor of Christ through the flesh realm we're speaking about here, that would eventually produce Mary. See, you see, Christ had no earthly father for a bloodline type. Oh, my. Now, isn't it strange? The Bible said, as was supposed, that Joseph was the father of Christ. Well, you all know, and I know certainly well, that Almighty Yahweh was the father of Christ, so therefore there was no blood, not born of the blood of man. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 13. Born not of the will of man or the will of the flesh, but of the will of Yahweh. Christ was born by the eternal Spirit, and God was his father. Now, isn't that amazing that the mother, the attribute of a flesh realm from David, would have to come through Mary? Well, she had to be related to David in some way. If David was an Ephraimite, well, don't you think a simple deduction... Ruth and Boaz, the great-great-grandfather of David and Jesse, that these were the perennial progenitors of David's flesh line, which was Ephraimite. Now, let's go back to Ephraim, Genesis chapter 49, verse 22 through 24, and look at the progenitor downline of Joseph. This is Ephraim, who had the birthright, acceptance that he had the birthright. Well, if Christ came through the line of Judah, there's no birthright for Judah. Then Christ would violate his own law by coming out of the tribe of Judah when there's no birthright acceptance for the tribe of Judah. There's none for the tribe of Reuben, who was the firstborn, and certainly not the 10 succeeding sons after the birth or after Reuben. The other nine were all rejected, as was the sons of Jesse when they were looking for David. Isn't it amazing that the beast power has changed the text in certain places, and they have made you believe that Christ was a Jew, and everybody pays homage and sympathies to Antichrist people who claim to have Christ and in tune denying, and they have the blessings of Christ, and we say that they're blind, when the Scripture does not say that Judah was blind or Jews were blind. It says Israel was blind. Oh my, what a conflicting, contrary ideal about the truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this may be stranger than fiction to yours. It may be deep and way over your head, and probably will be, because most people have never bothered. I mean, they just quote John 3:16 and saying, away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. And they say he laid his head down in Bethlehem, Judea, because the scribes and the Pharisees said that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, Judea, according to the book of Matthew chapter 2. Well, does the Bible say that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, Judea? No. Who said it? The Pharisees and the scribes. Who were the scribes? Those who were in charge of actually copying the Bible. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you turn a fox into the hen house and expect to count all your eggs and they all be there, you know, you're naive. If two wolves and a lamb sit down and decide what they're going to have for dinner, guess who's going to be eaten? And that's what's happened. We've turned the fox and the wolves loose in our midst. By their deception and deceit, by craftiness, they have taken our heritage through the tribe of Joseph. They stole our birthright, and it is recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 5. Listen to me, in the Greek application and the English, I've given you this in part 4 of the series, but we've been having it on tape, so we'll tape it tonight and give you the facts. Write to me, Pastor Buddy, and I'll give you the facts here in the Greek interlinear, and we'll give it to you in the Hebrew version and the English version, and let you make a decision that something is wrong here, something rotten in Denmark, if you will, in this case, something rotten in Bethlehem, Judea. Bethlehem, Judea, ladies and gentlemen, was not the birthplace prophesied for Christ to come. Christ was to come from Bethlehem, Ephratah. Now, I admit that Satan can bring a counterfeit and make you believe a lie, and so those scriptures there that says that he's going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, were quotes from the scribes. Not quote from the Bible, or quote from the prophet, or not quote from God Almighty, as most people think. They think everything that they read in the Bible is God's quote. Satan quoted a lot out of scripture. They don't make it the truth. It's deceptional. And so the scribes, then Christ warned you, again, to beware of them, and they said that Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea. Would you trust the scribe? Would you trust someone who Christ instructed you to beware of? You say, well, now, Pastor Buddy, he was talking about probably some in particular, not all those that were evil scribes. Well, now, let's examine the facts then and see who we got here. I know that those in Matthew chapter 2 were all evil because they lied. You say, well, my heavens, buddies, don't be so blunt to indict all the scribes here and throw the baby out with the bathwater. Well, let's look at the bathwater and see that it is filthy with the washing of the scribes here in their own deceit, and those who are taken in by it are those that are deceived. According to Revelation 19:20, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. Ladies and gentlemen, there is something wrong, something rotten, if you will, in Denmark here. So let's take a look and see what it is. Now, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, write it down for your text. Go and look. The prophet Micah is the sole prophet that they were referring to, but they misquoted him miserably, and I'll show you where. In Micah 5 and 2, it says, behold, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be little compared to the thousands and the masses of Judah, yet out of you, little Bethlehem Ephratah, Bethlehem Bethel, Bethel Ephraim, in Genesis 35:19, you'll find the place that Jacob laid his head is called Bethel Ephratah, and Ephraim is fruitful, and that was the first son of Joseph, named in honor of the birthright covenant. The Bible says that Ephraim was the chosen one by Jacob to inherit the double portion of Joseph, and that the birthright Messiah would come from this tribe, according to Genesis 49, verse 24. And you say, oh, Pastor Betty, I've got a great one for you over there in Genesis 49. While you're there wandering around lost and like a lost ball in high weeds, let's go over and look at Genesis 49:10. Okay, let's go. We go over to the book of Genesis 49:10, and it's written in that text, and here's how it's written. Talking about the prophecies concerning the house of Judah. Now, he gave 12 prophecies to 12 sons, and each one had a different prophecy for a different time and a different aspect of the whole of the sun. Now, let's look and see what he said. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Now, my, that is a powerful statement by the prophet Jacob, who was telling his son Judah, Judah, the scepter will not depart from your house or your people or your offspring until. Now, there it is. Underline until. Until what? Until Shiloh, the Messiah, Christ, comes. Now, wait just a minute. Can you interpret the meaning of Genesis 49:10 as opposed to Genesis 49:24? Let's make the comparison here. Jacob said Judah would rule with a scepter, meaning the kings and the authority of the house of Judah would rule over Israel. Now, this is a punishment thing, again, in a spiritual form, that Judah would prevail over Israel, or over the other sons, the other 10 sons, the 11, counting Benjamin, that he would prevail over the 11 with prevail, not rule by authority, or by prophetic revelation, or by birthright acceptance by Christ, but he would prevail. In other words, he would bully his way, and he would come in and rule until the Messiah come, and then after that, the scepter would depart from the house of Judah. Well, here it is, folks. 2,000 years later, here comes an old prophet, an old preacher, an old Tennessee plowboy that don't know Hebrew or Greek, very little English, and can't pronounce most of my words very well, very limited education, spoken to by Almighty Yahweh, in a cave in the East Tennessee hills up here, on a 40-day fast, the Father told me to raise up, and he would send me to his people. That many would reject me, I would be hated, and I would be falsely accused, but a few would hear the message of the revelation for the hour as a new phase for the last days, that the eagle was coming to the top of the cedar of Lebanon, which means white, and would take back the kingdom. Here it is, the revelation coming forth in the last days, and we're going worldwide tonight on WWCR with the faith of a few and the hope of many. lays at stake with this message, because the Bible said truth must return. There must return a people in the last days. Yahweh said he would pour out his truth upon his people, and that they would come a deliverer out of Zion, out of the hills of Mount Zion, here in the good old U.S. of A., and out of these hills would come forth the deliverer that would turn Jacob again to the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is stranger being than fiction, and I'll work a work, he said, among you, that in the day that it's declared unto you, you will not believe. But how is it that our people destroyed for the lack of knowledge, saved by the fact that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word? How can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach except it be said? And the Father said, open your mouth, and I will fill it, and I'll guarantee you one thing. If the anointing of the Most High is there in power, the Father will give you the truth, and the truth will make you free, as it is recorded in Revelations 5 and 5 in the Greek text, as opposed to the English text. And let me give you the stark reality and the stark difference between the two. Here it says that there is a lion and a lamb. Each of these are seeking dominance to rule over one another. Well, the English text gives the lion preeminence. In the Greek text, the lamb assumes preeminence. Now, which one's going to win? If you were betting man and you saw a lion and a lamb wrestling for supremacy or trying to gain the scepter and the crown, the birthright in this case, who would you bet on? Well, everybody's betting on Judah, when in reality, it's the little meek lamb from Bethel, Ephratah, that overcome the lion. In the book of the Greek version of the Bible, it says, behold, I, the lamb, have overcome the lion to loose the seven seals. And I told you, if you ever get victory over the mark of the beast, this is the mark, where that you have been convinced that the Jews are God's chosen people, which in reality is a lie. It is the house of Ephraim, the house of Israel, that are the chosen ones, and now the house of Joseph shall rule, as shall come forth him that will rule. Christ came, and the scepter departed from Judah. You know why? You know why the Jews hated Christ? Because he said the scepter does not belong to the house of Judah. And so the Pharisees from the house of Judah said, we hate you. You're a liar. We will kill you because you are trying to take away our heritage, our birthright, our preeminence. Remember, Jacob made the prophecy that the washing of the foal, the colt, remember when Christ rode into the temple mount upon the 10th day, which was the very day in first Passover season that they were to put up the lamb. Christ came in on that very day. Isn't it marvelous and wonderful that Christ gave us the applications of the principles of the festivals to know that he came on the appointed time and he died right on the very day he was supposed to when the Jews killed him? And people say, oh, the Romans is the one that crucified Christ. It was a Sanhedrin court without the approval of Pilate, the Roman governor. Yes, the Jews were guarded by the power of Rome. The Roman soldiers were there. Yes, they did gamble for his garment, proving the fact that the Gentiles, these Roman Gentiles, these Israelites of yesterday had not received their own. The Bible said he came into the world, and the world or unto his own, and the Bible said they rejected him. Now listen to this scripture here. Now, write for that information on Revelation 5 and 5. Say, Pastor Buddy, give me the photocopy of the Greek text where it says, behold, I, the Lamb, have overcome the lion to loose the seals. Now, if you don't have that revelation, if you can't get that truth, you'll never get out of this box that the bell box preachers have stigmatized you into and stuck you in there with the thought that the Jews are God's chosen people, when in reality, according to Revelation 2 and 9, they are the children of the devil. And in 3 and 9, he confirms it with the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established that the truth will prevail in the last days. It's coming forth. It's shining. And great men of courage like Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack and those who support the ministry of the Shepherd's Call, trying to keep my voice on the radio, barely keeping her head above the water financially. We need your help. Now, if you will, you can write Pastor Buddy tonight, earmark these funds for the Shepherd's Call Radio Ministry. Tell me exactly what it's for. These will be earmarked. They will be sent in to support the ministry to Dr. Gary, who will pay the bill very obediently every month. He has to pay the bill whether you send anything or not. And we need your help. We are the prophets in the wilderness. We're like John the Baptist. We come in the simplicity of camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey. We don't fly across the nation in a Learjet. We don't stay at the Waldorf Astoria. We don't stay at the convention centers. We don't have great stadium crusade meetings. For you see, this message will not go over there. We are not in the Billy Graham evangelistic most respected list. Matter of fact, we teach against all these Christian teachings of these Christian paganistic idiots that are out there proclaiming the Jews as God's chosen people, when in fact they're not. And in fact, the scripture is adamantly opposed to that ideal. Now, you've got to have the truth. Now, how can you hear without a preacher? How can you preach except to be sent? And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. The more you're going to hear about this, you'll never shake this out of your mind. Once you've been told about this, it will haunt you for the rest of your life. It'd been better for you not to hear this and hear it and not pursue after it and to get a full understanding. I know now you're probably at this point confused, and that's what the devil's all about. Where there's confusion, there's ever evil work. So you must unconfuse yourself with the facts. Right for the facts. We got them. We'll show you the posting of the Greek text. And let's go again to Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Where it says, and you've heard this say, oh, now, Pastor Buddy, you're too hard on these people. Glory to God. When Christ was hanging on the torture stake and he was being killed, and yes, he was brutally, savagely attacked. He was interrogated. He was bruised. His back was exposed, the bones in the rib cage in his back, the shoulder blades, all the flesh, 39 stripes with a cat of nine tails. Were laced upon his back. His flesh was literally ripped from stem to stern of his body. The Bible said his bones was exposed. They stared back at him, and yet not a one of them was broken. They nailed his feet. They nailed his hands, and they cut his side open. Glory to God. And they took the crowns, and they smashed these long thorns into his skull and into his brain. Every fiber, every nerve was penetrated. His body screamed in pain. He was in agony. And then when the story of Christ and his passion is told in a 12-hour, we have those people coming forth, anti-Semitic. Oh, my heavens, folks, are we going to sit back and be made guilty that we have to do away with our constitutional rights, and we have to do away with our God, our Christian God that we worship? They took him out of the schools. They took him out of the churches. They took him out of the government. They took him out of the homes. They took him now finally out of the hearts of the people, and they deceived the very elect. And it's time to return with a vengeance. It's time to turn in power. It's time to turn in truth. And it's time to get about our Father's business. The Bible says in Luke 24:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is the English text that you've been accustomed to, and you've believed that all of your life. And so, therefore, you've become very docile. You've become very, very willing to say, oh, well, you know, the Bible says, you know, that Christ forgive them all, and God's going to love everybody, and God's going to save everybody, and glory to God this, and glory to God that. And when in reality, listen to what the Greek version says, and I beg for your attempts to hear the truth and hear the word of Yahweh. And the Bible says that the truth will save your soul from sin. Listen to what it says in reality. Father, forgive them not, in the Greek text, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. You can't tell me, ladies and gentlemen, that a people planned and conspired to kill him, didn't know why they were killing him. It's because that Christ came and revealed to them that the scepter belonged to the house of Joseph, and therefore that the preeminence of the very powerful elite Sanhedrin court ruled and controlled by the Jews was no longer under the mask. That the mask had been pulled back. The truth had been exposed, and you can see now the great beast and the great whore that corrupted all the earth and made her believe a lie and be damned. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy. You're listening here tonight with us at Shepherd Call. I'm glad to have you aboard. And if you want more truth, I guess perhaps this message is the most powerful last day message. I know it's not loved. I know it's going to be hated. And so if you want a loving, kind message, you probably need to turn the dial. This message will bring division even in your own home. It will divide you against your wife. When you pull out of Sunday school and when you pull out this popcorn bell box religion, when you want to get down to the nitty gritty and get the truth and wash yourself in pure water in the great name of the magnanimous name of Yahweh, we had five souls in our festival in Andrews, North Carolina. My, what a wonderful time we had. We had great teaching. We had folks from the great state of Illinois, Ohio, and Michigan, and Florida, and Tennessee baptized there at that assembly in Andrews, North Carolina, where we gathered for 8 days of glorious festivals. And much truth came out. And we'll get into some of the truth that did come through the revelation that came through that for the first time. This is first time anointed truth that came through. One of the great marvelous revelations came through. We're going to share with you later on in our ministry. Praise Yahweh. So you need to stay tuned. Write me tonight, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. Now that's Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284. Now, if you'll write me and write for some of this information, just specify what you'd like to have. We'll send it out to you, praise Yahweh. Now, if you'd like to have a track on the great name of the King of Yahweh, well, we got it. If you'd like to know the truth behind the mystery of Babylon, write me and I'll send you the information. So we got great information for you. It is earth-shattering, earth-shaking. It'll shake your kingdom. It'll change your ways. It'll bring you out of the bell box, the whorehouses, the great Babylonian whore. We've unmasked her in this series of the great masqueraders, and those posing as God's people are not in truth and reality. So write me, Post Office Box 2284, the zip, 37824, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. My telephone number is area code 423-626-2172. Now, that's area code. If you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight. Sitting in here, praise y'all, with some of the brethren that's visiting here with me in the studios tonight. And we are bringing the message to you right down the line. Praise Yahweh. We don't want to cut any truth out of this. Praise Yahweh. Now, my telephone number again, area code 423-626-2172. Write me or call me. You can call me after the show's over. I'll be off at 8:59, and just give me a call after 9 p.m. here, Eastern Standard Time. We're on Shepherd's Call, and we are with you every night on Sunday night from 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time until 9. Now, call me, area code 423-626-2172. Give me a name, telephone number, and we'd be glad to communicate with you and give you some information. Praise Yahweh. Now, let me tell you about Dr. Gary. Dr. Gary is located down in the great state of Mississippi. He's a southern boy, and he's proud in his heritage. He's a true blue Israelite. And he's waiting on your call in the morning. This is a business hour phone. This is Dr. Gary's personal business phone. And he will take your order. If you'd like to order some good old-fashioned coconut oil, something you can't get on at the shelves, because these people that call themselves Jews and are not, they own most of the pharmaceutical companies. And the word sorcery is associated with pharmaceutical. So, pharmaceutical, I guess it is. So you need to write Dr. Gary, or you need to call him. I'll give you his cell phone. This is a toll-free number. Call him up. Call Doc on his nickel. And that's Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. And while you got him on the phone, make a commitment to our radio program. Say, Dr. Gary, Pastor Buddy's got boldness. He's going to preach the truth. It's things that I've never heard. These things have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. These are revelation from the Spirit. These are things that's coming straight from the throne of Yahweh. You can check it all out with the Word. We back everything that we say with the Word. We prove everything in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and we can establish a fact. If you'll give us time, give us a place in your heart, give us a place in your time, give us a place in your pocketbook. We need your help. Call Dr. Gary. Say, Dr. Gary, I want to support Pastor Buddy and your Shepherd's Call ministry, and here's your love offering. Here's my commitment to you each month, each week. Make us a little commitment there. Make a vow to us to support us. Praise Yahweh. 1-877-289-7439. Now, if you'd like to call Dr. Jack and make the same commitment to him, again, this is a toll-free number. 1-888-281-7320. Well, folks, it's been good being with you tonight. If you'd like to have a copy of this tape, you just write or call Pastor Buddy, and we'd be glad to send it to you. Praise Yahweh. There is a four-part series here on the Masqueraders. We'll probably do the fifth part maybe sometime when we get time to bring you up in full speed on the five part of the Masqueraders. Like I say, we were in Fellowship Feast for the last 8 days, been in North Carolina in the beautiful Smoky Mountains with a lot of good friends and a lot of new people. We met some new people there, and we fellowshiped and had a wonderful time. Four of those new people got baptized in the great name of Yahweh, and the other sister was a native Tennessean here of the great city of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so we baptized those five in the wonderful, magnanimous, magnificent, all-powerful, all-glorious name of Yahweh. Folks, when you get to heaven, you're going to have gate trouble if you ain't got the name of Yahweh in your forehead or in your mind or in your heart. If you haven't supported the truth, then the Bible said, well, I was naked, hungry, and cold, and you didn't do all the things above that you should have been. And they're going to say, well, when did you see you like this? Praise Yahweh. You see, there's people of Yahweh among them right now. They know I'm not. They love the world. They love the power. They love the elite. They love the protocols of the kings of the earth and these great cathedrals of deceit. Remember, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Remember the Masqueraders. We got to get out of here. Yahweh bless you. Shalom.
From 8 to 9 p.m. Standard time on this great station.